This is 1A. I'm Jen White in Washington. 13 days ago, we watched as the Capitol building was breached by insurrectionists. It was a shocking moment, but not an altogether surprising one. For months, President Trump falsely claimed widespread voter fraud stole the election from him. That lie was repeated and amplified, resulting in the violence we saw in our nation's seat of government. In the aftermath of the insurrection, I called my 15-year-old niece. I wanted to check on her and see how she was processing what happened. She was unexpectedly calm. She said she wasn't surprised that we ended up in this place. She said she thought people were shifting further to the left or further to the right, and that there wasn't much of a future for centrism in the U.S. She also said she thought we were eventually heading for another civil war. Not today or tomorrow, but eventually. I told her I was surprised she didn't sound particularly disturbed by that idea. And she said, Titi, that's what she calls me. Titi, you just have to live your life. That made me wonder how other young people are thinking about this political moment. What do they think about the strength of our institutions and the future of our nation? What do they think about their political inheritance? Well, today we're putting that question to the future of America, young people. Joining us now is Aidan Cohn Murphy. He's a 17-year-old resident of D.C. and the co-founder of the group TikTok for Biden. Aidan, welcome to 1A.
Thank you so much for having me.
Also with us is Presley Roberts. She's a 17-year-old living in Vandalia, Ohio, and her family got in touch with us through the 1A Text Club. Presley, it's great to have you with us.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
And joining us from San Diego is Rena Patel. She's a psychologist who focuses on children, teens, and education. Rena, welcome.
Thank you.
And we'd also love to hear from you, especially if you're under the age of 22. How are you processing this political moment? We're taking your calls, 855-236-1A1A. That's 855-236-1212. Aidan, there's a lot going on right now. Tomorrow, Joe Biden will be sworn in as our 46th president, which, considering you started TikTok for Biden, I think you're probably happy about. But we're still in the middle of a raging pandemic. Some worry about more political violence on the horizon. How are you feeling about the moment we're in?
I am feeling like an extreme combination of happiness that Trump is finally going to be out of office tomorrow. But then, as you said, just anxiety about who knows what's going to happen at the inauguration. It's not ideal that we have to have 30,000 federal troops here, even though no one's attending the inauguration. And of course, the pandemic. So there are these things that make it so hard to actually be excited and to be happy. And so I think I am nervous and anxious, but I still like to make sure that I take the time to be happy about this, about the victory of Joe Biden, which I guess in the grand scheme of things is not like the most important thing to happen this year, but it is still very, very significant.
Presley, what about you? How are you feeling right now?
I'm feeling kind of, I'm happy that Biden is going to be our president, and honestly, I have been scared about, you know, seeing the rioting and seeing everything that's been happening. It's kind of all just crazy to me because we have so much going on. Now the pandemic, and now like the rioting that has been happening at the Capitol, and it's just been kind of crazy for everyone, it seems like.
You know, Rena, we're on the heels of this deadly riot at the Capitol. Tomorrow, a new president will be sworn into office. All of this is happening on top of a global pandemic. Talk about the psychological toll of this moment, especially for young people.
There's been a lot of what we would call as professionals secondary trauma. And it's just, you don't personally have to be directly impacted, but the fact that this entire year, this past year, has been building, so many, many teens and children can feel like this pressure cooker, just building and building all of these external stressors, and at one point, it can steam, you know, erupt, And that's what's so important to keep in mind. The most confident and strong, secure individuals, secure teens who are quite resilient can, in fact, be affected by what has happened, because understandably it's one challenge after the other. So I've seen an increase in anxiety in children and teens, increase in depression, and parents are just surprised because there was no history of any of this in terms of mental illness or mental health issues. But what I have to remind them is this is an unprecedented time. And it's just been a domino effect of challenges.
Aiden, you're a DC resident, so I imagine the attack at the Capitol was shocking for you for multiple reasons. What was going through your head that day, and how are you continuing to process it?
I think that it was kind of shocking but not surprising. And just living in DC, you see like a protest of a few thousand people on the National Mall basically every weekend. So that's just such a normal thing to see. But then the juxtaposition of that going into, usually these protests don't end by the protesters breaking into the Capitol building. And it was just such a, like, growing up in DC, the Capitol and the National Mall is, you look up to it, because that's basically the center of the town and the center of the country. And to see people just break in there with relative ease on a day that we kind of all knew something was going to happen was just so disturbing. And it is hard to retain the same faith in American democracy when its epicenter is just stormed just so relatively easy.
Presley, you were watching the news in Ohio on January 6th. Can you just describe what that was like for you as you were watching events unfold?
I was appalled. I wasn't surprised, and I kind of figured that things were going to happen like that, but I didn't think that they would be that bad. Like, people were throwing fire extinguishers at people, and seeing other people choose violence, it was very scary for me, because I feel like that we should all be safe, and I don't think violence should be the answer.
A member of the 1A Text Club wrote, "My 20-year-old daughter is overwhelmed with all that is going on. We have had many discussions about the political state of our nation over the last year, but since the insurrection attempt last week, she has shut herself off from news. It's just too much for her to process right now. It's all she can do to focus on her online classes." Rena, what advice do you have for parents whose young people are just completely overwhelmed right now?
That's a good question. And Presley, it was so great with her response and insight, because teens have a moral compass. They know immediately right from wrong. And what's unfortunate is they're watching adults, people who are supposed to be their role models. And so, yes, step away from media for anyone, even as parents and adults. Designate time to get your sources, your information. Make sure you cross-reference what it is that you're seeing, but you cannot take away an image that you've already seen. And so make sure that you find things that you enjoy, leisure activities that you do. I know many students are online, doing online learning, and that in itself has been challenging. The fact that they're missing out on being physically with their peers, seeing family, doing their typical activities has been hard. And so connect, make sure as parents that they check in. Don't assume that everything's going fine, because children can internalize and they may not always articulate, especially teens. And so I think it's important to give them a safe space where there's no judgment. And when we do listen to our teens talk to us, listen with no interruption. Sometimes all they need is just to be able to have that safe space where they can disclose what it is that they're feeling, and then go in and try to find ways to support them through this difficult journey.
Aiden, some rioters used anti-Semitic symbols and messages at the Capitol, and there is this concern about the rise of white supremacy, ideologies in the U.S. What was it like to see some of that imagery as a Jewish American?
I mean, it was, as you can guess, terrifying. And it was actually part of the reason why I was actually not in D.C. at the time, because, like, the past week, I've been getting a lot of death threats from neo-Nazis and members of the alt-right for being gay and Jewish, especially on TikTok. And with my address, and so it was recommended that I leave town. But it is just terrifying because, of course, I know, like, the extremities of homophobia and anti-Semitism, but it is just so scary to see that in such a mainstream place, the U.S. Capitol.
We're talking to Aiden Cohn Murphy. He's a 17-year-old resident of D.C. and the co-founder of the group TikTok for Biden. Also with us, Presley Roberts, a 17-year-old living in Vandalia, Ohio, and child psychologist Rena Patel. And we're also talking to you. We'd love to hear from you if you're 22 or under. Call us at 855-236-1A1A. That's 855-236-1212. How are you feeling about the future of the United States? I'm Jen White. This is 1A from WAMU and NPR. I'm Jen White. This is 1A. We're hearing from young people about this political moment, from the insurrection at the U.S. Capitol earlier this month to tomorrow's inauguration of Joe Biden. With us are Presley Roberts, a 17-year-old living in Vandalia, Ohio. Aiden Cohn Murphy, a 17-year-old resident of D.C. and the co-founder of the group TikTok for Biden, and child psychologist Rena Patel. We also want to hear from you. If you're under the age of 22, how are you dealing with all this right now? Are you feeling inspired by political engagement, or are you concerned, or are you just feeling apathetic? We're taking your calls, 855-236-1212. Let's go to Mark in North Carolina. Mark, how are you feeling about this moment?
All right. Hey, thank you for having me. I love your show. I have had COVID-19 the last 6 months, so I apologize if I'm coughing too much.
Oh, wow.
Which that kind of segues because, first of all, kind of hard to not think about how things could have been different health-wise with different leadership. So that's obviously like a thing that never leaves our brain. But overall, between me and friends and colleagues and people online that we discourse with, I mean, we don't see the country as like a shining example of what our parents and grandparents told us it was. We obviously see how it was might have once been that, but the way it operates, we don't really see what's on the horizon for us. We see things like degrees and things as like a possible means to that, but nothing's a guarantee. And I think if we're really being like, when we really get down to talking about it in my groups, at least personally, like we all see the root as just the foundational kind of like colonial capitalism, neo-feudalism that this country was founded on, which utilizes white supremacy as a tool, and it's tethered. You can't extricate the two from each other. So we all think about building alternatives to all that, whether it's mutual aid or helping each other. We do see, especially with how Patriot Act 2.0 will probably come up from the insurrection, that like there's no way to actually revolt against the state physically. We need to build alternatives at the grassroots level. And those movements, which are really the left internationally, is what the U.S. squashes internationally whenever democratically elected socialist governments are elected. Things that look like alternatives to capitalism are always squashed. So we need to find ways at a grassroots level to make it happen within the empire. So that's why we also see like Bernie Sanders and AOC, like they start off speaking that way. But you notice they never actually address international issues and the military aspect of our empire and economic
now, Mark,
empire
you're,
as well.
You're
sanctions.
Mark, I want to jump in here because you're 21 years old, and I'm curious whether right. you feel like you are leaning into the political system in the U.S. as it exists right now, or are you leaning out and just really looking at alternatives to how we practice politics?
Well, that's very interesting because I think now I like to be a little more pragmatic than a lot of people I've just talked with online and in my life. But I think the common sense is that like we need to do both, but different people are going to have different strengths. Personally, I don't see myself running for office. That's a whole thing. I know people who will, but there's only so much you can do when you're running in that, colonialist, imperial capitalist system. When you're outside, you don't have institutional power. We saw Bernie Sanders and his groups had no institutional power, which is why the media slandered him. But we want to have some institutional power and then have grassroots power to basically overtake what's put onto us from the ones with power, which
Mark,
is, the establishment and all that.
Mark,
so
thanks.
We're kind of both, I would say.
Mark, thank you so much for that call. Let's go to Mackenzie in Michigan. Now, Mackenzie, you're 22. You graduated in May of 2020. How are you feeling about this moment?
Hi, how are you doing?
Okay, go ahead.
So it's definitely been quite the journey since 2016. And what I've seen from starting college in 2016 to now ending college in 2020, it's just been a general sense of apathy and fear, and feeling like young people are being left behind. 2020, I feel like, was a good example of that because a lot of people that I know, a lot of my friends had their lives completely uprooted by COVID-19 with internships ending and classes being suspended and that sort of thing. And essentially, true to form, we were kind of left behind. A lot of us are still dependents, quote unquote, on our parents and didn't get a lot of the stimulus money or didn't get any stimulus money. So even since 2016, when I believe it was your 15-year-old niece who said she didn't expect it or she did expect it, I think that is a fair point, is that we did kind of as a generation say, well, here we go. Mm-hmm. This is how it's going to be now. And 2020 is just really a testament to that.
So when you think about the future of the country, even beyond the next 4 years, how would you describe how you're feeling and thinking about it?
Cautious optimism is what I'll say to that. I think it's good to be hopeful, and while Biden wasn't necessarily my first choice, and I think wasn't necessarily a lot of people's first choices, I am cautiously optimistic that hopefully policy will start moving in a way that is helpful to everybody, including the future of the country.
Mackenzie, thanks so much for that call. Let's take one more call. This is Maxwell, also calling from Michigan. Maxwell, you're 22, and you have concerns about how we're thinking about political identities. Go ahead.
Yeah, sure. So thank you for having me on. So I graduated from Michigan back in May, and I actually founded a company called Civil Media. And basically what we do is we're a newsletter that kind of breaks down the biggest news stories each week from the left and from the right. Really, because I think one of the biggest problems facing our nation today is that we've kind of forgotten that, we're all citizens of, the same country. And instead, our kind of identities have been tied to whether we lean left or lean right. And so I think really, a key for us moving forward is to start having conversations with people to kind of get to that base level of, okay, most people, I would hope, want the country to get better, not worse. And I think that's something we need to kind of lean into, as opposed to kind of the tribalism that we have now.
Maxwell, thank you so much for that call, and go blue. Rena, so we've heard, cautious optimism. We heard someone talking about working outside of the systems, but trying to do that in a pragmatic way. Maxwell talked about the division in political identities and trying to get people to talk to one another. Kind of tell me what you heard in those three calls.
I heard activism. I heard seeking solutions, which are such important traits and values that our young adults and teens have. And sadly, there's this loss of hope, but just not by what's happening politically, but just almost a sense of, I need to separate from adults because they haven't figured this out. And we need to take the burden upon ourselves to find the best solution. And in a way, I think that's wonderful. But I still think, I mean, these young adults are still trying to navigate, to try to figure things out. And it goes back to, it's okay to have disagreements. It's okay to have differences in opinion. But then how do you respectfully disagree, right? Do we need to put someone else down to voice our thoughts? And the other thing that is clear too is so many of them have this fear, the fear of the unknown. That's actually what anxiety is just the fear of what's to happen. Just not knowing causes so much anxiety and uncertainty. And you've got so many facets. The fact that they're concerned about their new careers. Are they going to be able to find a job? What's going to happen with democracy? And also just even the fear of their own safety, for their own religion, their own gender identity. And so what I want to say is, I've heard this even within my own practice, and this is empirically stated, is when you feel a sense of helplessness, gravitate that towards hope by doing acts that make a difference. And there's so much research on when you do something for someone else or do a kind act, and it can be within your own community, that feeling of just hope and helping someone else will triumph and trump over your own feeling of helplessness. And so that stems from a background in what's called positive psychology. So continue to find those answers by coming together, collaborating, thinking like-minded, but always have that foundation of compassion and kindness, because there is more good than bad in our country, for sure.
We're talking to child psychologist Rena Patel. Also with us, Presley Roberts, a 17-year-old living in Vandalia, Ohio, and Aiden Cohn Murphy, a 17-year-old resident of D.C. and co-founder of the group TikTok for Biden. We're also hearing from you. If you're 22 or under, the number to call is 855-236-1212. How are you feeling and thinking about this political moment and what comes after? Presley, tell me about the conversations you've been having with friends and family or in school about the violence at the Capitol, but also about the future of the country.
So actually, a couple of days ago, I was with a couple of my friends and we were having a conversation about who they voted for because they are 18. And I asked them if they voted for Trump or Biden, and I'm not going to judge them for who they voted for because I believe that everybody has their opinion on voting for, you know, one or the other. And they told me that they voted for Biden because they believe that, you know, Trump is racist, and, you know, it's just all kinds of crazy right now, but I believe for our future, I hope that there is peace with everyone, and I just wish that the violence would go away and COVID-19 can slow down, and hopefully things will start going back to normal.
Aiden, what about for you? Because even though you were not able to vote in this most recent election, you were very politically engaged. What kinds of conversations have you been having?
I've been having a lot of conversations, and yesterday for the National Day of Service honoring Dr. Martin Luther King, we held a community conversation with like about 100 young people. And I think like our generation has inherited a very, very bad like political world, and there is a lot that we need to fix. And I kind of related to what the first caller was talking about in the problems that are so inherent in our system are going to be so hard to beat because some of them are the bedrock of the system itself. But if we don't like engage in these politics, then nothing's going to happen. Then climate change is going to kill us. Then school shootings are going to continue. Then people are going to keep dying of healthcare. So like, it is, we're basically being forced into politics because that's the main way presented to our generation to make institutional change. And it's scary because I don't know what's going to happen in 4 years if Josh Hawley will be the Republican nominee. And it's just, I don't get any kind of solace out of much. I'm just very, very anxious for what the next 4 years have to hold.
Let's go back to the phones. We have Lindsay in Syracuse, New York. Lindsay, you've got some advice for your peers. You're 22. Go ahead.
Yeah. So I've been in college through this pandemic, and I think one really important thing is to kind of tune out the TV. One thing that's really helped me is finding like a few trusted podcasts and really curating the news I'm actually getting so that it's made so that I understand it. And it's less about fear and kind of those buzzwords and breaking news and a lot more about like me understanding the situation and me knowing how to talk about it with my friends and actually have conducive conversation rather than just kind of always living in that like fear hole that makes it really hard to be in an academic environment.
Lindsay, thank you so much. That's great advice. We got this tweet from one of you who says, literally last night, for the first time since the pandemic started, my 12-year-old was quiet and troubled and not talking. We spoke before your show and she cried and said how overwhelmed she is by the last 2 weeks. So this show is so timely. Thank you. Rena, you talked about the importance of talking and listening, but April asks on Facebook, my son is 10. How do we truthfully tell our younger kids what is going on and its impact on our world without sugarcoating the activities, but without scaring them and increasing their anxiety?
Just to make sure you don't over divulge, it's so important with youngsters that you assess in a way that you ask them first what they saw, because so many children just in the moment unintentionally were exposed to the riots, the violence, the language, such hatred. And they're having, understandably, feeling overwhelmed. Young children personalize, so they have a fear of safety. So we have to make sure that they feel safe. And you need to check in by not over-disclosing information, telling them information that they may not have been aware of. So ask them what they've seen, what they've heard, what they think. And then that's a great gauge for you as a parent to then be able to start at their developmental level and make it relatable. Use examples that they understand. I have a 6-year-old myself, and for him, he really looked at it as a robbers trying to break into a house. And I think that's what they need to understand to make it relatable, but also let them know that there are consequences to every action. There are rules and laws in our society. And we have to help them feel secure and know that that institution still works. And children are very much concrete learners at a young age. And so the more you can break things down and simplify by facts, the better.
We're hearing from young people ahead of the inauguration of Joe Biden. We're here with child psychologist Rena Patel. Also with us, Presley Roberts, a 17-year-old living in Vandalia, Ohio, and Aiden Cohn Murphy, a 17-year-old resident of D.C. and the co-founder of the group TikTok for Biden. There's still time for you to call if you're 22 or under, 855-236-1212. This is 1A. This is 1A. Back to your calls and our guests in a moment. But as you know, we'll have a new president and vice president tomorrow. We'd love to know what you want most from the Biden-Harris administration. Now, there's a lot to sort out. Coronavirus, recession, millions who are convinced without any evidence that the election was stolen. We'll be listening to and reading all of your messages. So please send us an audio file with our app, 1A Vox Pop, or send us a tweet or leave us a message. Back now to our conversation with Presley Roberts, a 17-year-old living in Vandalia, Ohio, Aiden Cohn Murphy, a 17-year-old resident of D.C., and the co-founder of the group TikTok for Biden, also with us, child psychologist Rena Patel. And there's still time to get to more of your calls. The number is 855-236-1212. We especially want to hear from you if you're under the age of 22. One of you shared this with us. I teach college and my students are starting to become numb to the venom and discord we adults are engaging in. Many of them say the people in charge are too old to change their ways, and maybe they have a point. Another of you shared, I'm 52 with 19 and 22-year-olds. They already carry the weight of an environmental crisis and social justice on them to hold, if not try to solve. This violence and unrest are eating away at their belief in capitalism and democracy. Aiden, to what extent have these crises impacted your faith in our institutions and in democracy?
I mean, extremely. There are very few people in democratic leadership who I think represent my values or anything close to my experience, because obviously almost all of democratic leaders are like above 75. And it is... It's not good to see, and it's hard because we want to have this multi-generational move towards social justice, and it just feels like our leaders in the party aren't doing that.
Let's go back to the phones. We have Fad from Oregon. Fad, you're 20. You're a truck driver. What's concerning you most right now?
My main concern, Jen, is that the impact long-term from the insurrection on the Capitol is going to further divide the people from their elected officials. There is already a growing kind of elite circle that's out of the bounds of people like me and a lot of my colleagues, who some of them are more conservative and represent, at least in sentiment, the morons that try to raid the Capitol. And I worry in part that the elected officials are not going to want to listen to people with any genuine concerns out of fear for their safety. And I also am worried about the long-term impact as far as security is concerned, because someone earlier on the program mentioned a Patriot Act 2.0, and I think that this is just going to serve as further evidence for the authoritarians that run this country to try and strip away our freedoms for the sake of security and their personal freedoms and, safety.
So when you think about the future of this country, I'll ask you the same question. How are you feeling right now? Do you feel hopeful? Do you feel pessimistic? Something in between?
I would say something in between. I think that it depends on who is getting elected a lot of the time. I'm not very happy with the election of Joe Biden. This was my first national election, and I was not satisfied with either of the choices on the ballot between Donald Trump, who's probably the worst president we've had since James Buchanan, and an octogenarian who's been in high public office for the past 30, 40 years, who, to my personal viewpoint, hasn't accomplished what I would like to see get done or really move in the direction that I think the country needs to go. But I am hopeful. There are a lot of young people that are starting to get a little bit more political now that they see that it's really up to them. And I'm hopeful that people are going to start listening to, people like me again sometime in the near future.
Fad, thank you so much for calling in. We appreciate it. We got this message from a member of the 1A Text Club who says, I'm a teacher and the kids in my neck of the woods are very confused. They have no idea what to think or how to feel with so many contrasting facts. And another member of the 1A Text Club wrote in saying, I'm 22 and I think what happened was disturbing, but I also think it's ludicrous to associate those insurrectionists with the greater Republican Party. And if leaders in media and government continue to do that, we will never make strides to healing the widening gap and distrust down the aisle. Nearly everyone can agree what happened was one of the worst days in modern history for our institutions. Aiden, even if a majority of Republicans don't agree with the insurrection, a recent CNN poll found 75% of Republicans don't think Joe Biden won the election legitimately. So, you know, right now the animosity between Republicans and Democrats is so high. What do you think about whether it's possible to move beyond that?
I mean, I don't know. I'm certainly scared because there is no... I think that obviously we have a system of laws and rules in place, but part of American democracy is built on a collective faith in the system. And if 75% of Republicans don't agree with reality, what's been proven in the courts, what's been proven everywhere, then it is hard to see how we can move past this. And I mean, I'm trying to think of a bright side, but there really isn't any, because I mean, I guess a bright side would be that it's going to be hard for our country to move past this. But if Republicans really don't believe in like election results, then maybe they won't show up to vote and Democrats will do better. But like, that's the kind of only benefit. And that's just for Democrats, I guess, not for national unity. I think that it's going to be really, really hard to move forward.
Presley, after recent events, how much faith do you have that these deep divides in our country can be healed?
Honestly, I agree with Aiden. And I honestly, it's going to be very hard to move on from what has happened because there has been a lot that has been going on recently. And honestly, I just believe that people have hope in things that will get better and maybe compromise and have peace with one another. And I just hope that things will go well for the next 4 years. Mm-hmm. But I hope that there is not going to be a war, and hope for the best.
Aiden, when you think about the divide right after President-elect Biden won the election, there was a lot of talk about whether or not that divide should be closed, whether there should be reaching across the aisle, if you will. How are you navigating that conversation?
I think that they're definitely like in the political establishment and in the government, there needs to be reaching across the aisle, because with the filibuster, without reaching across the aisle, nothing's going to get done. But I think there's unity, but I think that there is very often like an increased expectation of Democrats to reach across the aisle to Republicans. And it is just hard to feel like I'm going to imagine that I am going to reach across the aisle to like someone who doesn't believe in my right to get married. Like it's so frustrating that we are the ones always expected to like put the fact that the people that we're supposed to be like unified with don't believe in us as like as basic Americans. And I just don't feel like that's a necessity. And if they want to change their belief system, then great for them. Then let's be friends and everything. But I don't really believe in like. People say political beliefs are something that, like, if you're not friends with someone with different political beliefs than you are, then you're immature. I just don't buy into that.
We're talking to Aiden Cohn Murphy, a 17-year-old resident of D.C. and the co-founder of the group TikTok for Biden. Also with us, Presley Roberts, a 17-year-old living in Vandalia, Ohio, and child psychologist Rena Patel. Rena, you know, for young people who are navigating, you know, school and maybe work and learning, you know, remotely, but also what might be family dynamics where people are on different parts of the political spectrum, What advice do you have for them, you know, in navigating those conversations, or have for parents who are trying to help them navigate those conversations?
Yes. Well, what I'm listening to is just the loss in trust of our governmental system. You see, children and as young as kindergarten start to learn about what democracy is and the government and three branches of government that have to do the balance and checks. In the past 4 years, they haven't witnessed that. So there is a dissonance between reality and what they learn in books. And it can be difficult for parents to explain what's going on politically when they themselves in school know how a democratic system is supposed to work. And when they hear information, and what's challenging with media is that, understandably, we have to give the breaking news, we have to talk about the outliers and then what's current events, what's going on. But media also, it's hard to balance that and talking about all the good and everything that is happening. And so we have to ensure them that things are fluid, but things can change. And even if it's a small action within your family unit of trying to do something positive, trying to make that small change, ultimately others will follow. And that's, again, going back to holding on to that hope. As for conversations about politics, it just goes back to knowing who you trust, first of all, and then being able to have and disclose your thoughts, your opinions, and knowing that you're not going to be judged, you're not going to be put down. And it goes into making it a teachable moment, role model. Talk about that at home, especially when children are in high school. Of course, they're having conversations with their peers. A lot of educators want to have that dialogue. This is the time to shape and cultivate that before they're out on their own. And so practicing how to listen respectfully. It's okay to have differences in opinion. And I really do hope, myself as an adult, as a parent, as a working professional, that the government finds a way to compromise and reach over and have those important, difficult discussions, but not personally attack or put someone else down for having a difference in opinions.
Well, we have time for one more call. We've got Henry on the line from Michigan. Henry, you're 12. You wanted to share a few thoughts about American democracy. What's on your mind?
Well, America is a country that, like all other countries, look up to. I mean, we're a democracy, and our democracy is very unique, and not all countries in the world have the privilege that we have. And one of the keystones of our democracy is our election process, and I was just truly shocked as a 12-year-old to see, like, our election being overturned by a group of protesters at the Capitol. I just really want everyone to unify. So I've launched a nationwide campaign, and it's called Unity is Our Superpower. And I've also written an essay that goes along with it, and I would just like to read a few phrases from this essay.
Okay, really quickly for us, Henry.
Okay, 218 years ago, a great civil rights leader brought forth on this country a new nonviolent civil rights movement conceived in liberty, social justice, opportunity, unity, and dedicated to the creeds that all men are created equal. So unity inspires me to be better. Unity will help us in numerous ways. If we have been given one superpower, one talent, one hope in life, it is the power of unity.
Henry.
So unity is like...
Henry, we're almost out of time on the show, but if you don't mind, I would love for you to stay on the line. We're going to have you talk to one of our producers. And if you are willing to share that essay with us, we'd love to share it with our listeners, if that's okay with you. So just stay on the line for us, and we're going to connect with you in just a moment. That was Henry calling from Michigan. We've got about a minute left here. Aiden, I mean, we're hearing from a 12-year-old here calling for unity. President-elect Joe Biden and Vice President-elect Kamala Harris will be sworn in tomorrow. What are you hoping to see from this administration?
I mean, what we're going to see on the first day from Biden's executive action, like rolling back the travel ban, major immigration stuff, I'm very excited for that. And beyond that, definitely COVID stimulus checks. Biden's cabinet appointments have been pretty good so far. And hopefully passing health care reform and significant climate action.
Presley, you'll be voting age soon. What are you thinking about in terms of your involvement in the political process? What are you hoping to do between now and when you go into the ballot box for the first time?
Honestly, I that is a good question, because honestly, just try to see how things are going and the next, well, obviously tomorrow and when Biden goes in. And also just kind of live my life and see how things are and see how everyone in the country is handling everything that has been going on.
Well, I'm sure we'll have lots more to talk about in the coming years. That was Presley Roberts, a 17-year-old living in Vandalia, Ohio. Aiden Cohn Murphy, a 17-year-old resident of D.C. And the co-founder of the group TikTok for Biden. Also with us, child psychologist Rena Patel. Presley, Aiden, Rena, thanks so much for speaking to us. And thank you for all of your calls and comments this hour. We really appreciate hearing your voice. Remember, we have a text club. We'll only ever send you one text a day. It's the fastest way to connect with us. Details about how to sign up can be found in the Ask 1A tab at the1a.org. Today's producer was Catherine Fink. This program comes to you from WAMU, part of American University in Washington, distributed by NPR. I'm Jen White. Thanks for listening, and let's talk more soon. This is 1A.